with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Hallelujah. 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 Your hands with me. Come on and clap your hands with me. Come on and clap your hands with me. Come on and clap your hands with me.
Hallelujah. 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 When you give them that praise, those binds are getting broken. Hallelujah. When you give them that praise, you're being set free. Hallelujah. 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 Whatever was holding you back. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Whatever that sickness was. Hallelujah. Whatever that situation is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. 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 Amen. Yeah. Hey, hallelujah. So, let me cover some for a second. So let me cover something for a second. Things can get difficult. And we can come in tired. And we can come in worn down. But I guarantee it, if you just keep saying, hallelujah. And you think about what he's done. Hallelujah. Victory over cancer. Hallelujah. Victory over those bills you had to pay. Hallelujah. Victory over that conflict you had in school. Hallelujah. Victory over that stuff with your co-workers and your job and your boss. Hallelujah. That conflict with your neighbor. Hallelujah. Whatever was going on, if you just think on it. Think about what he has freed you from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because that brings us out. Right? That brings us out. Because your focus changes on from what we're running into every day. Your focus changes from what's affecting this. Your flesh. Your bones. Your muscles. Right? But when you say hallelujah, you start focusing on the Holy Spirit. You start focusing on your soul. You start focusing on not what you don't have, but what he took you from. Amen. So we all want to be what? Set free this morning. Free indeed. And it starts with hallelujah. Amen. Because you're recognizing what he has done through salvation. Through him being our master. Right? Through him being in control. That's why. And that's why when people look at us and wonder why aren't we going crazy with all the stuff that's going on in this world? Because as long as we keep looking to hallelujah and our Lord, right? That stuff's happening, we're still dealing with it. But as long as we're looking towards the Lord. And sometimes when you feel your eyes going down, you just need to go, hallelujah, right? Hallelujah. 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 And you'll get above all this stuff that's going on down here. Right? Let us always remember our perspective. Hallelujah. 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 Because my eyes are fixed up here. Not on all this. Amen. 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 Our hearts and minds, let us be prepared. We are going to start our communion service. Our deacon Tyrone is going to be reading our scripture from Corinthians. And then our deaconess Barbara is going to do our confession of faith. And then our Reverend Lyons is going to pray over the sacraments. Amen? Amen. If you haven't gotten one when you came in, let Deaconess Lillian know, and we'll make sure that you have your communion, right, or you have your head covering. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Good morning, church. I'll be reading 1 Corinthians 11, 18 and 34. For I received from the Lord what I have also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he was given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord is in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of this bread and drink from this cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is why many among are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we are more discerned in regards of ourselves, we will not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when you are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should eat all of this together. Anyone who is hungry shall eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not be a result in judgment.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Father God, have mercy on us. Lord, we're humbly approaching this communion service. We ask that you right now transform this juice symbolically to your blood, Christ, and the wafer, Lord, your broken body. Lord, we ask that you forgive us of our sins and our trespasses. Lord, be with us as we walk in your ways. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Above all, your will be done. In earth, even as it is in heaven. The grass withered, the flower faded. But the word of our God shall stand forever. So our prayer, Lord, is help us to be found in the word of God. No other place. No other place we would rather be than in your word and in your presence. Consecrate us now. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Above all, give us a heart to believe the hidden truths in your word. We believe in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our soul says, amen. Well, since I got you standing, let's go ahead. And let's look at our sermon text for today. It's going to be found in the book of Exodus, the 31st chapter. We're going to look after the first couple of verses there. Exodus, the 31st chapter. While you're finding that, I do want to offer my apologies to the men for canceling our time of fellowship and prayer this morning. I was telling Tyrone there in the office, yesterday we had a father-son event at my son's school, and we went and played paintball. Paintball is an activity for young men. So I'm not going to say much more than that. So above all, you pray for your pastor this morning, right? Exodus 31. Then the Lord spake to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of and of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. That means he anointed his hands to work. To design artistic works, to work in gold, silver, and bronze. In the cutting of jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Heshimach, of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you. The tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle. They're able to do the table and the utensils, to work with pure and make the pure gold lampstand
with all of its utensils and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all of its utensils, the laver and the base, the garments of the ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests, and the anointing oil, sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. So this morning, I want to introduce you to two lesser known dynamic duos of God. And their names are Bezalel and Aholiab. Amen. You may be seated in the sanctuary. Starting out with a bit of trivia. Who is the first man or woman to be filled with the Holy Spirit recorded in the Bible? Who is the first man or first woman to be filled with the Holy Spirit recorded in the Bible? And I'll offer up an answer if you didn't know or if you couldn't guess. The first man to be filled with the Spirit of God was Bezalel. We've got it here in the witness, Exodus 31 and 3. And this occurred some 1500 years before the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Right? We understand and believe in Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit into the church that quickens its church that it might go forward. Even before that, God had sent his Holy Ghost. And I just pointed out to let you know, God can do it any kind of way he chooses. Right? There have been plenty of dynamic duos that have made massive impacts on history. Each in their own ways. Shaggy and Scooby of the famed Scooby-Doo. Tom and Jerry. As we learned in school, Romeo and Juliet. Barack and Michelle Obama. Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street. And favorites for many of you, I'm sure, SpongeBob and Patrick. For the music lovers, there's Peaches and Herb. There's Sonny and Cher. For those of you following the basketball playoffs and now the finals, Shaq and Kobe, Steph and Clay, the Splash Brothers, and now Luca and Kyrie. I'm preaching now. But for many of us, the greatest dynamic duo is and shall maybe ever be Batman and Robin, the famed Cape Crusaders. Today, as we begin Men's Month, I want to inform you of three important facts about God's relationship with men. We're going to use this duo to point it out. And those three important facts that I want to highlight in the time I have is one, as a man, I want you to know that God knows your name. That's important. I want you to know that God has given you his Spirit. That's important. And that God has provided you help. Right? He knows your name. He's given you his Spirit. And God has given you help. And that's important because God has given every man an assignment. Are you with me? If God has allowed you to be birthed into this world, it's because God has a job for you to do for Him. Our God's not wasteful. If you're here, you're here for a purpose. So the Lord spake to Moses. He said, see, I have called by name Bezalel. He is of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship. He tells Moses at this point, as Israel is going from Egypt towards the promised land, verse chapter 25, really up to chapter 30, he begins to tell Moses about a tabernacle that he requires of them. So I want you to build me a tabernacle because I want to dwell among the children of God. Right? That's why when we celebrate him, we celebrate the name of God, Emmanuel, meaning what? God with us. One thing you have to always know and remember about your God, his purpose has always been to dwell among us. Right? And after you look through your Bible, that's all you see. God constantly making an attempt not to stay distant or separated from us, but to what? Dwell among us. Out of all that he created, out of all of the heavens, all of the earth, God said, now I'm going to make a special place. The garden of God. Why? Because I want to dwell with Adam and Eve. I don't want to be up here and they down there. But I want to have a place where we can come in fellowship one with another. Right? And when you see it, the coming of the Holy Spirit is God saying, not only do I want to dwell among them, but I want to dwell in them. Are you with me? So he says, look, Moses, I've got a guy. And his name is Bezalel. And his name means in the shadow or protection of God. In the Hebrew language, that's what his name means, Bezalel, in the shadow or protection of God. Meaning God stood in front of him so that his shadow would fall over him, so that Bezalel could remain protected until God was ready to bring him forward. Are you with me? This is important, men, because God, in doing what he has done for Bezalel, is doing the same for many of us. God has stood in front of us. Let me see if I can get a witness. Let me see if I can get a witness. I know God has stood in front of us. Why? Because we're not dead yet. How many men here today have had near death experiences? And I'm not fooling around. Wrong place, wrong time. The bullet caught him, but it could have easily, but God stood. I wish I had real men in my church. Real men would tell the truth and say, yeah, I didn't even know no one knew. I never told my mom. I never told my dad because I shouldn't have been there in the first place. But God stood in front of me. Why? Because he was protecting me until my time came. Disease and came against my body, but God stood in front of it. Said, no, it's got to go because this is my man and I'm saving him for such a time as when I'll need him. So devil, you can't have him. I know you want to take him down. And I know you're plotting now since you can't have him. Now you're plotting against his family. But because they're connected to him, I'm going to stand in front of them too. Because I need this guy for a specific assignment. Are you with me this Sunday? He told Moses his name is Bezalel. He said, this is the guy that is going to do what I told you I wanted. This guy is going to be the guy who makes it happen. And so, men, I want you to know that God knows your name. Jeremiah tells us in the opening chapter, he says, before I formed thee in the belly, said I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I had already sanctified you. That means set you aside. That's why he stands in front of you. He set you aside for what? A specific purpose. He said, I have sanctified and I have ordained thee. That means God has equipped him to be a prophet. It's not just that God has spared you. It's not just that God has set you aside and that he has protected you, but God has equipped you. Are you with me? Look at somebody and tell them you got everything you need. Everything you need, God has already equipped you with it. Right? I've ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nation. God not only knows your name, meaning he knows who you are, God also knows exactly where you are. Most men won't receive this message because they say to me, Pastor, God doesn't know where I am. Because if he did, I know for a fact God would not call me. Not if God knew the stuff I've done. See, Pat, you got to say, Pat, there's some stuff I've done that I haven't told you. I know we get down and we talk sometimes, but I don't tell you everything. There's some places I've been. There's some things that I have done. But I want you to know today, church, God, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Good, bad, he sees it all, he knows it all, and in spite of it all, he calls you by name. That's trying to inform us that the calling of God is greater than anything you've ever done or have not done. Of course, he's calling you by name. Are you with me this Sunday? Look at somebody and tell them he knows your name. That's important as men that God knows our name. He knows our name. He knows us even before we were born. He knows us throughout the balance of our lifetime because he has stood in front of us, protecting us, covering us, watching us. Until the time that God is ready to bring us forth. Are you with me? Not only does God know your name, God has given you his Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul clearly taught that we receive the Holy Spirit the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. 1 Corinthians 12:13 declares, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. That's his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 teaches us that the Holy Spirit is the seal of salvation for those who believe. Here it is, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, a promised Holy Spirit who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. He's given you that. He's put, we talked about it Wednesday night. Wednesday night I told you that he said what? Did you not know that your body is the what? Temple of the dwelling place of God. I opened the sermon by telling you it has always been God's desire to what? Dwell among us. And in the person of the Holy Spirit, he goes to the fullest extent and he dwells in us. not in a tabernacle, not in the tent, not in the temple. All of those were foreshadowings of what he really wanted to do. That's why we call him Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I just want to say this in brief concerning the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is often confusing. And to keep it simple, the receiving or indwelling of the Holy Spirit occurs at the moment of salvation. Okay? The moment you name Christ Jesus, commit your life to living for him and dying like him, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, the filling of the Holy Spirit is an ongoing process in the Christian life. Okay? They used to say it in the old church this way. The theology was good, but they said it, this is how they said it. They would say one baptism and many refillings. Right? How many old enough to have heard that in church? Heard your grandmother say that, right? One baptism, and all they were saying, you received the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost at the moment of salvation. But this refilling, let me go at it this way. Every time you do anything that is godly and God pleasing, it stirs up the Holy Ghost in you. Right? Here it is. Here it is. This example may work in this church. Let me try. How many Kool-Aid kids are in the church? Right? Kool-Aid. Now, if you made Kool-Aid the way I made Kool-Aid, you take a bag of sugar and make sure you got at least half of it in the pitcher. Then you take this little pack of Kool-Aid and throw that in there. And then put it under the spigot and fill it up with water. Now the reality is, that thing has, it's got a whole lot of sugar in it. But it's not till you get that big old ladle or spoon and start what? Stirring it up. That sugar now moves off of the bottom. And now begins to apply itself to all of the water. And if you keep stirring it long enough, it'll go from being white sugar, a little grape Kool-Aid, and a whole bunch of water on top. But when you stir it up, what? It gets all mixed up. And now it becomes something that tastes better later than it did when you first made it, right? That's what the Holy Spirit is. Every time you do something spiritual, you stir up the Holy Ghost in you. Now, if you just put the sugar, the Kool-Aid, and the water and drink it, what are you drinking? Water. Nothing's happened. The sugar's in there. The Kool-Aid's in it. But you haven't stirred it up. Anytime you pray, you stir up the Spirit. Anytime you sing songs, you the Spirit. Anytime you encourage somebody with the Word of God, you stir up the Spirit. Anytime you testify and tell of the goodness of God in your life, you do what? You stir up the Spirit. So he not only gave Bezalel his Spirit, but when Bezalel set his heart to work, whether in gold, wood, or the precious jewels, God would stir up the Spirit in him. And when he stirred up the Spirit of God in him, the anointing of God came on him, and he was able to do something that without the presence of God, he could not do. Right? And so that's what God wants to do as men of God, as believers in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. Our job is to stir it up. Look at somebody and say, stir it up. That's what God wants. That's why we come out on Sunday mornings. That's why we participate in the power. That's why we come out for Bible study online. Why? We want God to stir it up. Because when the Holy Spirit is stirred, when the Holy Spirit is stirred, we transform into something greater. Versus simply having him in the basement of our soul. Just down there in the basement. Doing nothing. Offering nothing. Empowering nothing. It's not that he can't do, but he won't do until you stir him up. And we stir him up when we put our heart and mind to fulfilling the word of God. We put it in our heart and mind to walk after the Spirit, to mind the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. When we do that, we stir up the Spirit of God that is in you. Are you getting anything out? All right. Here it is. Now, here it is. Now, here's the third thing. He knows you by name, right? Then he fills you with his Spirit, right? And now he provides you help, right? Psalms 46 tells us God is our refuge and our strength. And that he is what? Also a very present help in the time of trouble. How many know that Psalms, right? How many have danced on that, got excited about? God is a present help in the time of trouble. God's help often comes in the form of another man. I wish, all right, maybe you're not ready for it. God's help often comes in the form of another man. As seen in the life of one of God's greatest dynamic duos, Jonathan and David. They were both an incredible blessing to each other. They were God's provision to each other. They were God's protection for each other. It was God doing what he needed to do, but he did it through another man. David needed a friend. And God sent Jonathan. 1 Samuel 18:1 says, and when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. That means God had joined them in the spirit. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. God joined them together in the spirit. And then they made a covenant in the natural to be best friends. Are you with me? It is this coming together of male support that can often be the catalyst to causing a man to rise from obscurity to greatness. Are you with me? Jonathan's armor bearer says to him in 1 Samuel 14:7, it says, so his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go, for I am with you. They looked at that Philistine garrison. Jonathan, something stirred him up, that Holy Ghost. He said, I think we can do it. I think if we go now, I believe, this is what he said, you look it up. He said, I believe God can give the victory either to great or to small. Meaning God can get the victory either by a great army or a few. And he said, I know we don't have the whole army of Israel here, but something is telling me that if we move now, Jonathan said, I believe God will give us the victory. And the thing that released Jonathan into this great victory in Israel was because he had another man that said to him, do all that is in your heart, for I am with you. I'm gonna go with you. If you say we can do it, I'm gonna man up and I'm gonna go with you now. And we're gonna go into this thing together with the God of Israel on our side. Are you hearing me today? So he's helping us to understand that in a man's life, he wants you to know that God knows who you are. He knows exactly where you are. He wants you to know that he has given you his Holy Spirit, right? Just waiting on you to stir it up. Stir it up because your time and your season in God is soon approaching. Stop wasting your life looking for something else to do. Here's something that gets us all the time, men. We waste our lives looking for someone else to do it, when it is God who has called you to the forefront. It is God that has protected you throughout your lifetime for such a time, such a season as this. And God said, if you would just begin to go forth, he said, I'm going to send you help. And for Bezalel, help came in the form of Elohad. Did you read that? Verse 6. He says, indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, right, of the tribe. He said, not only I'm calling Bezalel, but I know he's going to get weary because the task is great. But I'm going to send some help with him, right? Men, if you get this, I'll quit preaching. If you get this, I'll quit preaching. Here it is. Sometimes God will send you help. Right? It's what he did for Bezalel. He sent help to him. Right? It's what he did for David. He sent Jonathan to him. Other times, God will send you to be the help. I wish I had a real church. Not to receive help, but God is sending you to be the help needed in the life of another man. And oftentimes, this is where we drop the ball. Sometimes we drop the ball because we never get started. We constantly look and ask God, why me? Why not somebody else? As men, we do it all the time. We look for someone else to do it. And we fail to realize God has called us. That's our job. And then all too often, we tell God, I can't do it. And we bring out our laundry list of why we can't. Well, I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I've never been here, and I don't know nobody, and I've never been anywhere, and I've never seen anything. How could God use me? The Bible says, in weakness, his strength is made perfect. Now, I don't know if you guys can handle this, but watch this. Your greatest advantage in God is having nothing. You got to have faith to believe what I just said. The greatest advantage of working with, in, or for God is to have nothing. Because when you have too much stuff, there is the temptation to say that I have gotten the victory by my own power. It was who I knew. It was what I was able to do. It was what I was able to say. And get this, anytime you work, God can't. Anytime you work, you shut God off. It's like clicking the switch. Okay, enough of God. Turn him on. Because now I'm going to live, do, and speak in what? My own strength. And watch this. Here's the danger of that. You become your own God. But if you come to God and say, God, I don't have any of this. I can't speak like that. I'm not comfortable being in those surroundings. I don't know the people on that level. You stir up the gift of God in you. And God begins. I got to believe Bezalel was like, oh my goodness. I never knew my hands could do this. I never knew how to design something. I just made bowls and cups. I never designed the artifacts in the house. Where did this come from? Right? Because he admitted that he didn't have nothing. God gave him everything he needed. And that's what God does in the life of a man that he has chosen. He has not chosen you because of what you have. He has chosen you because of who you are. And you are the elect and chosen of God. And he wants to tell us, this is the change we've got to make, men. We don't make any other change. We got to make this change. One, we've got to be open to receive help. Are you with me? Most men don't want help. That's why in the life of men, addiction is long running. When you really dig into it, it didn't start yesterday. Started a long time ago. But because we don't want help, we don't get any. Because we don't want help, we won't receive help. I'm just trying to tell you, oftentimes that help comes in the form of another man. Imagine if Bezalel would have told Aholiab, nope, I got this. He'd have never made it. The task was greater than him. Listen to me, men. What God is calling you to do is greater than you. Right? If it wasn't greater than you, God wouldn't call you to do it. Right? He calls you, it's greater than you, causing, helping, hoping that you would realize, Lord, raise your hand. I need some help. If this is what you want me to do, I need some help. Lord, send me some help. And I'm just trying to pull the mask off, guys, to help us to understand oftentimes that help comes in the form of another man. Another man who doesn't want anything from you. Doesn't need what you have. Not trying to do what you're trying to do. So there's what? There's no competition. That's where we freak out, man. We think they're trying to get ours. He's trying to get mine. No. He's trying to help you get yours. And if you would just open up and receive the help God has sent. Now, I'm not trying to say every man, but I am saying that there is a man that God has. Listen what he said. He told Moses. He said, and indeed I. Did y'all catch that? Y'all read it in chat. He said, and I, and indeed I. He said, Moses, this is me talking. God said, it's me. And I'm sending him help. And his name is Aholiab. God said, I send him. He's telling Moses, he said, look, so if Bezalel gets started and thinks he can do it alone, no. You tell him, Moses. God sent Aholiab. That's your help. That's who's going to help you build the tabernacle. God said, I've assigned other gifted artisans, but Aholiab is going to be assigned specifically to you. Moses. I don't think Moses could have ever done the things for God that he did had it not been for Joshua. Joshua is known as in theological circles as the minister of Moses. Moses ministered to the people, but God gave him Joshua to minister to him. Elijah prophesied to the nation, but he gave him Elisha to be a prophet in his own room. So after he had given out himself to everybody, God sent another man to sew back into him. Wash his feet. Bring him bread. Why? Because there's power in two. And I believe God wanted me to preach this message. I believe, one, because I believe many men God is getting ready to call you forth for times like today. You're ready. He's held you back. All of these years, he kept his robe over you. That's why I tell you, that's why you didn't die. That's why they couldn't shoot you. That's why God covered you. But now God is pulling his protection back. And God's saying, I need you now. God's saying, this is the season I was waiting for in your life. He's given us the courage. He's saying, go for it. You already got the gift. The Holy Spirit is in you. Your job, just stir it up. Go forward with what I'm telling you to do. And he's saying, don't worry. I'm sending you help. I'm sending you help. And they're going to push you. They're going to encourage you when others doubt you. They're going to love you when others hate you. They're going to be there for you when others forsake you. He said, I'm sending you a friend. And that friend is going to come in the Spirit of God. And they are going to help you. I don't know who you are or where you are. I believe so strongly in my spirit that this message is for somebody. Your time is now. We love to say it of Esther, but I think it's applicable here. I believe God has saved you for such a time as this. He saved you for such a time as this, for what you have to do, for what God has called you to do. And he's also saved you for a time like this, for what he needs you to do in the life of another man. If you're a man here today, don't get too busy to help another man. Don't get so consumed in your own affairs, in your own life, that you fail to pour into the life of someone else. I believe God is raising up an army of men. And he's going to do it one by one and one by two. All throughout the Word of God, he encourages us to be what? Helpers. of what? One another. One another. Shall we all stand? Dynamic duos for Christ. Can only imagine what Christ must have thought. What am I to do? What am I to say to help these 12 guys finish what I started? My time's up. He says, my hour is at hand. I got one last message. Got one last opportunity to pour myself into these guys so that when I'm dead and gone, what I have taught them, what I have given them will live on. And not only live on throughout their lifetime, but the lifetime of countless others. This is the message he preached. He said, this is my body. He began to show men how to be men for God. My body given for you. He tells his disciples, I could call a legion of, he said, I can show you who I really am. But showing you and impressing you by what I can do and what I have and where I've been is not the most important. What's more important is I show you how to give yourself to God for another man. Because he said, I die for you. Not dying for myself. My place in glory is confirmed. And when he calls me upward, I'm gonna take my seat right again, right next to the Father. That's never been lost. But I came to give my life for you. I came to choose 12 guys, ordinary guys, regular people. And I just wanted to give them one last opportunity to understand my whole life. He said, this is my body. Broken and given for you. He says, eat ye all of it. He said, come on, let's make a covenant together. Let's make a promise right here, right now, today. We're going to do it together. They didn't know he would be absent, but they did know he promised to do it together. So in like manner, let us renew the covenant of Christ and eat the bread representing his own body. And as we give our bodies over to Christ, help us to be willing to give our bodies over to help one another. Eat ye all of it. He says, after the same manner, he took the cup. He blessed it. He said, here it is. Here's the new agreement we have, the new covenant. said, in just a little while, I'm going to sign it in my own blood. God wants us to die, giving our life for him to another person. Let's make a commitment today that before we die, we give our life for somebody else. Give all that you have. Give all that you're able to give. And when we die, die like that. Die empty. Don't die with money in the bank. Don't die with dreams unfulfilled. Empty it all out into the life of another person. And pray to God that he does something wonderful in their life. And you made the sacrifice. You were what they needed, when they needed it. And God called you to lay down your life, your resources, your time, your gift, your connections, your network. Not for the betterment of you, but for the betterment of someone else. And in so doing, we build the kingdom of Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can be the cause or the catalyst for someone else to come and know Jesus? We are God's ambassadors. Let us all drink together. Holy Spirit, if we peer into the Word of God and see how Christ so freely gave of himself for other men, Holy Spirit, help us to stir our gifts that in like manner we might give of ourselves to another man, to another woman, that God might use us as the catalyst to push them forward into greatness in the kingdom of God. Holy Spirit, help us, and to God be the glory. Amen, and God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. 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 Make sure I didn't bring up the right sheet of paper. I'll bring that up in a second. Oh, we don't have the drummer. It's offering time. That's our drum roll, please. I'm going to bring up our brother Robert. I'm going to get him the right sheet of paper that he can read from. But let us prepare ourselves to give in another way. Amen?
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of the five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. to give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at Taylor Tabernacle 6309. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithe / offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. Pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App, Pastor Jonathan Ford. Venmo, Jonathan Ford, 25. As always, thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Bring up our deacon Tyrone for announcements.
The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday over our live stream service. We continue through via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in the worship from home. Remember to hit subscribe right on your YouTube page, to follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed to end up with all the informed information of the upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send out your new emails and we will add you to the list. Thank you. When you decide to join us in in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving your home and bring the mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has been in contact with COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. June 9th, Reverend Joseph Reed from Bible Union Fellowship will be our guest speaker. June 9th, immediately following service, Chef Sherry Jean will join us for a cooking demonstration and will provide vegan samples. Someone say Father's Day. June 16th is Father's Day, and we will be celebrating Father's Day here in the Tabernacle. Saturday, June 29th, Men's Fellowship, we'll be at the Phillies game. Game starts at 4:05, and we'll be tailgating starting at 2:05. So just a quick update on that. I feel great to be here this morning, but I just feel great to have over 30 men and young boys going to the Phillies game. For us to have a good time. It's something different that I'm excited about. Just the tailgating, cornhole, throwing the footballs, and actually being able to go in the game and enjoy ourselves. It's something to be excited about. We're going to be tailgating in parking lot M. I will have that info. I'm going to text everyone, all the men that purchased the tickets and for the kids. We're going to be in parking lot M, and I'm just a brief directions how to get there. I'll do it via text message this week. There are 220 days until Christmas. Can you believe that? Now is the perfect time to begin planning our participation in Prison Fellowship and Angel Trees Christmas. If you are interested in volunteering with us, giving towards the Angel Trees this Christmas, please join us for a short informational session after service. Please bring all questions and ideas for additional questions. Please see Sister Zakiya Price. Every Sunday, we'll be gathering at 8:30 in-person corporation prayer. We'll be gathering at 8:30 in the morning for in-person corporate prayer, followed by morning worship service at 10 a.m. Wednesday nights, prayer and Bible studies at 10 p.m. via Google Meets. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. on Google Meets. We look forward to seeing your children 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and 5th Sundays. Thank you.
Amen. Something I forgot to mention a moment ago that I will before I bring the pastor out, which is if there's anyone here who's searching for a church home, find me. Okay, there's other people you can reach out to. Find me if you are in need of a church home. Amen? Amen. If you got friends that you know you want to bring to service, bring them to service. All right, we got some good word this morning? Amen. Let's bring more people in to get that what? Good word. Amen? Amen. Without further ado, our pastor.
shall we stand? Just to add to the announcements on Father's Day, our guest preacher is going to be Pastor Joe Williams from Mount Airy United Fellowship. Some of you guys may know Pastor Joe. He's a young man I was fortunate enough in my life to have two mothers and two fathers. The Williams families were literally my second parent. They were our neighbors growing up. They looked out for me, Cindy and Jamie, known them all of their lives. And what a privilege to have them come at this season in their lives to come and minister to us. So that's on Father's Day. We've got Joe Reed coming on next Sunday. So it's going to be a great time in the Lord. One of the things I wanted to do, I tried to get this out. Hopefully JC got it out. There's a job fair coming up this Friday at Temple. If you or someone you know is looking for employment, full and part-time employment. Many of you know Mike Robinson, good friend of the ministry. He's sponsoring a job fair down at Temple University. Get this flyer, get it online in the email thing that goes out, okay? Get this and get down there with your resume, okay? He's really pushing to get young black men hired, okay? So get in there, do that. So I wanted to share that with you. I'm going to give this benediction, but we also, as I concluded, I'm going to have the Radcliffes come up, Reverend Radcliffe, Deaconess Radcliffe. I'm going to have them come up, stand here on the end of the communion table. And I was thinking on this message, laboring with it over throughout the week, God's dynamic duo, Bezalel and Aholiab, and how God used this tag team to work a work in the land of Israel. I said, wow, we have our own dynamic duo in our church. 60 years of marriage. Amen. Not six, not 16, 60 years of marriage. And many of us, dare I say, all of us, have benefited in some way, shape, or form from their marriage. They got the message before I ever preached it. They made up in their mind years ago to give their life away for you, for me. I know I've benefited. If you didn't know, for Deacon Radcliffe, Deaconess Radcliffe, I am her favorite nephew. Let the church say. That's right, doctor. But while they have been a help for so many, the help I had scheduled for this Sunday didn't make it. So Deacon Aaron, God bless his heart, he had to get Caleb to the airport at 5 a.m. If you didn't know, Caleb's going to work for Google or Amazon or something. He had to fly out to Seattle. And they were on the first plane out. And he had flowers and fruit basket for them. Didn't quite make it here, but we'll be sure to bless them. As I give this benediction, I'm going to ask everybody, would you just come and love on them? Thank them for what they've given into your life. That's all. Let's thank them for what they did for you. And if they haven't done anything, remind them of that. They will. They'll get around to you. Their list is long, but they'll get around to you. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for the great cloud of witnesses that we have here today. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your man and woman of God, how that you have blessed them these 60 years. Thank you how you have caused their life to be a blessing to countless others. So I pray now that you continue to do as you already have done, and that is to pour back into them everything that they've given out. Father, I pray that you would press it down, shake it together, and cause it to come back double into their life and for them to see it in their lifetime. And as you bless them, bless the house of God and the people of God, that as we go forward into this world, that we would be light and salt. That wherever we go, our life would tell the story of Jesus Christ. This is our prayer. And all of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. Come on, let's love on the Radcliffes. They made it. They made it.